Genesis chapter 26, I want to preach to you on when things get dry. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 1, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. I want to turn here to a psalm real quick. I think it's 19. Hold on a second. Psalm 19, verse 7. If everybody would turn over there real quick. Psalm 19, verse 7. I want to sing this together. You ever sung this psalm? How many of you have sung this psalm before? Let me see your hand. Put it up nice and high. There's plenty of support. Look at that. All right, those of you that know it, help me out. Those of you that don't know it, jump on board. It's real easy. It's real simple. I ain't much of a song leader, but Rob can sing real loud, so he'll help me out. Right, Rob? You're good. You know this, right? All right. What we do is we sing verse number 1, and then we go to verse 10 as the chorus, verse 8, verse 10 as the chorus, then verse 9, verse 10 in the chorus, and then we wrap it up in verse 11, all right? So, yes, ma'am.
It's verse 7, not the verse number 1.
What?
You said verse number 1.
Verse 7 is verse number 1 of the song. It made sense in my head. It didn't come out right. My wife says I do that all the time, amen? We start in verse number 7 as verse number 1. She said, honey, you talk here and normal people are like not necessarily upper, just on a totally different wavelength. Amen. All right. So verse number 7 is verse number 1 of the song. Verse number 10 is the chorus. Verse number 8 would be verse 2. Then verse 9. All right. Let's sing it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for the word of God. I'm thankful that I have something to preach, Lord, beside my opinion, beside my own heart, my own thoughts. We got a book. And I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord. I want to be a blessing and a help to people. I don't want to hurt anybody here, Lord. I know sometimes, especially here lately, the preaching has been hard. It's been direct. I pray that you'd help us, Father, to realize that the Bible's harsh. I pray that the people would know that I love them. And, Lord, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. And I want, Father, to have the right spirit. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. I want to follow you. If you want it to be hard and straight and direct, I want to be that. If you want it to be calm and a blessing and encouraging, I want to make sure, Lord, that I'm doing your will. So I pray you'd let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight tonight. And I pray your people would have the right heart about the word of God, that we can grow spiritually and see you do something great here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now you'll notice here in verse number 1 that there's a famine going on in the land. Now, the Bible tells you in Genesis 26, 1, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. I don't know about you, but it's about the worst thing in the world when things get dry. Now, I'm not talking about physical dryness. I'm talking about spiritual dryness. And you'll notice that spiritual dryness is a part of life. If you're saved and you know the Lord as your Savior and you've been serving the Lord, you go through times of ups and you go through times of downs. That's just part of it. And not only did Abraham go through it, but now his son Isaac's going through it. And it, to me, the most devastating thing there is a famine spiritually. The Bible tells us that we live in a day when there's a famine in the land. God said that he would send a famine. He said, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's the day and age that we live in. People are starving for the word of God. The sad thing is most people don't even realize what they're actually starving for. It breaks my heart to be able to walk up to a perfect stranger, knock on his window, hand him a gospel tract, and have him sit there basically saying, hey, I need to grow in God and I'm just not sure how to. I need some answers. I have a longing and a desire in my heart to know my Savior better, to know Jesus better. I want to know His will. I know that my career and all that is in this world is just not what it's about. And I want something more. And basically to have nowhere to go to get it, or to not know that there's somewhere to go where you can get it. We live in a day and age in which there's a famine in the land. Born-again Christians can serve God for years and not understand some of the basic doctrines of Bible Christianity. Not know why it is that we don't believe in speaking in tongues. Not know why it is that we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Not understand why it is that we celebrate, or whatever you want to call it, the Lord. We observe the Lord's Supper. Not understand really why it is we observe baptism. Not understand the real drive and motive of soul winning, not know how to give an answer to somebody who's messed up in a cult. You and I ought to have those answers. You ought to be able to witness to a Jehovah's Witness and know exactly how to take the feet right out from underneath them within about 2 minutes. You ought to be able to cut them right off at the knees. You ought to be able to walk up, listen to me, you ought to be able to walk up to an educated, highly intelligent atheist and be able within about 30 seconds to put some doubt in his mind and doubt in his heart that he can't get away from. No matter how smart he is. No matter how educated he is or how educated you are. The problem is nowadays Christians are not equipped to do their job. And you can see it. I mean, we just try to work a little bit and get a few teams out going knocking on the doors trying to reach people and have some people start inviting friends and family, and we put 10 brand new first-time visitors in the church on a Sunday morning just like that. Out of 100 people has been the average attendance here lately. Out of 100 people, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to get 10 people every week. There's a famine in the land. They're hungry. Listen, it doesn't even have to be a lost person. It could be a saved person at work that's not being fed the Word of God. Listen, in times of famine, there's a longing, there's an emptiness, there's a need. And I dread those times when the famine comes in my own life. I'll be honest with you, not every day when I read my Bible is it fresh and exciting. Not every day when I pray can I promise you that I've seen an answer to that prayer. Not every time that I walk in church and sing am I actually singing with joy in my heart. Not every time am I excited about serving God. I'm not always thrilled. Trust me, you wouldn't be either if you spent all week negotiating with insurance salesmen. Amen. It's not always the high life. Times of famine are dangerous times. When things get dry in your life, my friend, when God turns off the spigot, there's nothing worse and there's nothing more dangerous than when you get dry. And we all get dry. There's nothing better than walking into church and sensing the presence of God. There is nothing better. There's nothing better than open up your Bible in the morning and seeing God say, right there's your answer, right there's the next step. That's exactly what I want you to do. I mean, nothing could be more thrilling than when you know God spoke to your heart. And nothing is more thrilling than when you get on your knees and you pray and you beg God and you seek Him and you claim His promises and He answers your prayer. Nothing is greater. I couldn't have set that up today if I tried. I actually tried to get away from it. And the circumstances that I won't go into of me even happening to be there in that area was just totally out of this world. God was all over it. Now that's exciting. That I love. That's a blessing. When you see that God's in it, hey, it's exciting. But when God's not in it, when it gets dry, that's dangerous and it's scary. And there's nothing worse. I can't imagine pastoring a church where God's not working. Can't imagine pastoring a church where souls are not getting saved. I can't imagine pastoring a church that's not growing. Oh, I knew it. Always about the numbers. I didn't say how. Judgmental, you're judgmental. I didn't think that. Then I'm not talking to you. Amen. God wrote an entire book of the Bible named Numbers. God counts. You ever see that? I want a growing church. First of all, growing spiritually. You'll see that Sunday morning. Second of all, growing numerically. You'll see that Sunday morning. I can't imagine being dry or staying dry. So you got to know what to do when you get dry. What do you do? Well, this passage teaches us. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Bible shows you there. Look at the second half of verse 1. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. You know, the first thing you do when you realize you're dry spiritually is take action. Isaac did what? Isaac went. You know what our problem is? We get dried up spiritually and we get content to stay there. We get dried up spiritually, and so since serving God's not exciting, since witnessing and soul winning is not exciting anymore. And listen, the regular stuff, the daily stuff, Bible reading and prayer and soul winning and going to church, it can be very exciting when God's in it. I couldn't have made it 6.5 years starting from scratch if it hadn't been exciting, if there weren't some crazy stories to tell, if there hadn't been some good times. I'm having fun serving Jesus. I'm not here because I have to be. Amen. It's exciting. When it gets dry and it's not so exciting anymore, you need to take action. You know what we do? It starts to get dry and so we just settle back into our comfort zone. We start getting critical. We start majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. Hey, a strong Christian takes a big deal and makes it little. Takes a big problem and something that they really have a right to dig their heels in and cause some trouble and fight this thing to the death. And a big Christian, a godly Christian, a Christian that's not dry but has the living water in their soul, is washing themselves in the Word of God daily, that Christian takes big deals and says they don't matter. Makes them little. You know what dry Christians do? Dry Christians take little stupid stuff and they allow it to take over. Nobody's nice to me in this church. You march in the door at the last second or 5 minutes late. You run out like a scalded cat afterwards and you say nobody likes you. And the whole time you're here, you look like you're sucking on lemons. Okay. Nobody likes me around here. I just don't fit in. Well, why don't you relax? We're all a bunch of misfits. So every single one of us could say that legitimately. You know how many different backgrounds you've got sitting in here right now? I'm not even talking about Sunday morning. Right now. Every background there is, man. We got such a, we're all a bunch of misfits. Amen? I mean, I pray to God that we resemble David's men, you know? We're debt, distressed, and discontented. We got plenty of that going around here. None of us fit in. But listen, when the water of the Word of God is flowing, when we're drinking from a well where Jesus pulled it up and gave us a drink, it's exciting, and we're happy, and we're able to overlook the stupid stuff and just enjoy serving God together. Take action. Don't sit there when you start drying up saying, well, I'm just dry. I'm going through a hard time right now. Hey, listen, get on your knees and say, God, I'm dry. And if you don't start speaking to me, I'm going to die. If you don't start, hey, opening up the spigots of heaven again and getting me stirred up again, I'm going to die. I can't take this. And I don't want this spirit. And I don't want this attitude. And I don't want these things taken over. I'm sick of this. And I'm sick of being miserable. I want the water to flow again. You know you're getting dry when you start complaining. You know you're getting dry when you got a bad attitude. This is not my purple Bible sitting up here. You know you're getting dry when you get critical. Take action. Isaac got up and went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. Why? There was a famine. He used common sense. He wasn't content to sit there and allow the devil to lull him to sleep. Allow the devil to just drag him down into discouragement and into frustration and into the pleasures of this life and the laziness of the flesh. Do you hear what I said? The pleasures of this life and the laziness of the flesh. I learn lessons, man. I see things. I pray God helps me see things. Walk up to a man in his 50s or 60s, an educated man, a man who's been in Japan and the United States. And that man's like, I'm looking for something a whole lot better than what I've seen in this world. And he's seen plenty of it. Multiple cultures, multiple languages. Man, that means a lot to me. I say, okay, I'm hearing you. You know why? Because I get caught, I get all off track. I get all messed up. I get all thinking about the wrong stuff and the things of this world and the laziness of my flesh. I need to be proactive and take action when it starts getting dry. I've found that when I get to God, hey, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When I get like that, God opens up the spigots of heaven and the famine goes away. Take action. You know what else he did is he looked for directions from God. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Go over with me to Acts chapter number 9, please. Keep your finger here in Genesis. We're coming right back. Acts chapter number 9. I want to show you something. Acts chapter number 9. You need to take action by not staying where you are, but you need to take action also by looking for directions from God. Acts chapter number 9, look at verse 17. I'm going to point out two words to you that I want you to find out. I want you to pay attention to and see. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee where? In the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jump down to verse number 27. The Holy Spirit reiterates the point. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord where? In the way. He had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken unto him. Hey, preacher, do you understand what the man was doing? Yeah, I understand what he was doing. He's persecuting the church. You know what he was? He was zealous for the law. He was a spiritual man going out doing what he thought was spiritually right. He was an active man. God doesn't call lazy bums. Jesus doesn't run commercials on TV to call you while you're loafing on the couch eating potato chips. Amen. Well, preacher, should we have really bought the bus? Well, I don't know. I'd rather try to do something and fail than sit around and not do nothing and just get stuck in our little comfort zone. Well, I don't know. People don't want it anymore. You know, we're trying. Hey, I'd rather make an effort and fail in the way. Hey, I know one thing about God. He shows up when you're in the way and he gives you some direction. That's the wrong way, boy. Turn it that way. But he doesn't show up when you're parked. Stop off at Ezekiel on your way back to Genesis, please. Look for direction from God. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Look at verse number 1. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, because, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What a weird passage of Scripture. What an awesome passage. A valley full of dry bones. A famine and dryness all the way through your Bible is the judgment of God on something. Ezekiel 37 shows the judgment of God on the nation of Israel. And the day's coming when God's going to raise up a valley full of dry bones again and make a great army out of that nation. And he hasn't done it yet, even though they're doing an okay job against the Palestinians. Amen. No matter how, CNN just gets me mad enough to spit. They're just playing right into the hands of... How come they're not turning that whole thing back on Hamas? That's a real good question, isn't it? And gullible Americans are falling for it, and the United Nations is dumber than a box of rocks. You can tell any one of them I said it. I could care less. Amen. We do get listens from D.C., you know. Change the truth. What do you do when you're dry? You look for directions. Where do you get your directions? First thing you look for in verse number 1 is the hand of God. The hand of God's upon the man. Is the hand of God on you? When's the last time you felt God's hand in your life? When you saw God's hand in your life? What's the second thing you do? In verse number 5, you look for God to answer his own questions. He asks you questions sometimes. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. He asked him the question. He said, Can these bones live? He said, God, I don't know, you know. God, this is really dry. God, this is a really bad situation. God, I don't see much hope at all in this situation. Your judgment is obviously all over this thing. You're judging it. They're dry. You're asking me, can they live? And I don't know. The honest truth is sometimes when I look at me in this generation, I go, man, Lord, you really think that we're going to build a church? People come in here like, oh my word, what was that? A couple years ago, I'll never forget, we had somebody leave, and she posted on Facebook to all of her friends, I had the worst church experience of my life this morning. Like, whoa! I am totally a man born out of my generation. Amen, 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 amen. I've seen a guy come in a public place just today, and he sits down like this. He's got green hair and pink in the front, and he's just like, and he has his legs crossed, and he's about that big around, and he's eating his sandwich like a bird plucking at a worm. And I couldn't stop staring at him. My wife tells me all the time that I do it, and I don't even realize it until other people are looking at me like, and I started laughing. I'm sitting there laughing to myself because I know how weird I look in this generation, and I'm like, now I'm laughing to myself after staring like, two studs, two studs, two studs, and stud right in the middle. I want to just walk up and say, hey, can I pop those for you? Oh, I thought they were zits. Sorry about that. And then I'm laughing. I'm on top of staring like a weirdo. I'm laughing at myself. You know what I think is funny? I think it's funny that I'm weird. Because our generation is that nuts. You don't fit in. That don't bother me. I thank you very much for the compliment. Praise the Lord. Son of man, can these bones live in this day and age? I don't know. I mean, I try. I try to water it down. I try to not water the message down, but water the delivery down. Step back, be sweet, be nice, take the hand, and, you know, sound like I'm actually educated and worry about my English. And that's just not me. I can't do it for very long. You know what it does? It makes me bitter. Because the men nowadays can't take it. Really? The men? You hurt my feelings. So what? Be glad I didn't break your nose. Amen. You know, we were talking the other day. When we were kids, was it you? When we were kids, with the lost world, it was considered a major insult with lost people if you called another guy a fag. Would you call me, dude? Nowadays, it's hate speech if you say something about him making out in public. We're in a mess. Son of man, can these bones live? God, you got to answer that question because I don't know. Look to God for the answers. Look for his directions. In verse number 4, he says, prophesy. Really, God? In verse number 9, he says it again, prophesy. You know what he's saying? You know what God's saying? God's saying, hey, listen, preach. Yeah, but God, I don't know if it'll work nowadays. Preach. Yeah, but God, they're pretty dry. Preach. You know what you do when it's dry? Get under the sound of good Bible preaching and refuse to leave whether you think he's crazy or not. If it's Bible, it's Bible. I don't like his style. So what? If it's Bible, it's Bible. That's what you need. It's something about preaching will stir up that soul. Something about preaching will get the water flowing again. Something about preaching will just get you excited. Hey, listen, we also need, when we're looking for direction, we need to look for God's Spirit in verses 5 and 6. He says, I will cause my breath to enter into you. I will lay sinews upon you. I will bring up flesh upon you. I'll cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live and know that I am the Lord. We need God's Spirit. And I'm not a charismatic to say that. We need the filling of God's Spirit. You know what it says in Ephesians chapter 5? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what happened today? I'm going to pull out of that parking lot, and I've just been putting some good gospel music on, and I just started to get fired up. And I was listening to one song about I walking down the aisle to the place at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved. Amen. I was just thinking about that. You know, when that old accuser tells me I'm a loser, I remind him how he lost my soul. Woo, man. I started getting all fired up, and I got that thing cranking in the car, and the Holy Spirit said, why don't you go back and talk to him about his soul? I'm like, hey, I'm good. You and me, we're having us a time right now. He's a rich doctor. He don't care. And God said, I'm going to beat you up all day. You and me miserable, boy. Why don't you get back? All right, fine. The music got turned down. But you know what that thing is? That music will fill you with the Spirit of God. You sit around depressed all day, sit around in the mully grubs all day, the bad attitude, nitpicking. You know what'll happen? You'll get dry. You turn that good music on in the house, it's amazing how good music, godly music, doctrinal music, Bible music that appeals to the soul, to the spirit, that music will run the mully grubs, the dryness, right out of the home. Put some good music on. Look for God's Spirit. Back to Genesis chapter 26. We're not going to finish this message tonight, and I'm not even going to try. That means I got something ready for next week or whenever, next 2 weeks from now, right? Something else to do when you get dry. Tune into God's instructions. Look at verse number 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I'll give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You know what God's given him in the famine? God's given him the proper perspective. He says, hey, listen, sojourn in the land. A sojourner is not somebody who's put their roots down. It's not somebody who's staying. You know what we do too much in this life? We put our roots down. So if God called your husband, he couldn't go unless he wants to go divorced. And then go try to raise support in this country among the fundamentalists. If your wife went backslidden on God and therefore left you, oh, you're divorced? Oh, you got the plague. You got the roots too deep. Love our security too much. Love the world too much and the things of the world too much. You know what you are? You're a pilgrim. You're a stranger. I don't care how deep you put your roots, you can't stay. Amen. You're dying. You realize that? You're going to die. And you're going one of two places when you do. You ain't stay. This ain't the home. This is a place we sojourn for a little while. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. When you're dry, you need to remember that it's okay, because the day is coming when you're going to see that river, that water of life proceeding from the throne of God, and you're there to stay forever. So let it get dry. But remember, it ain't about this anyhow. That helps me when I get dry. I heard a preacher talking this week and listening online. He said, are you registered in hell? No, I'm going to heaven. He said, no, is your name registered in hell? Do they know who you are? The principalities and powers. Do they know you? Do they see the direction you're going? Or if they're sitting around at one of their meetings, you know, their little powwows, their little gatherings with their master as he gives them instructions on what we're going to do in the battlefield and what's happening in the culture and how we're doing on the educational front and how we're doing on the Bible revision front and how we're doing on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life and how everything's going as we're taking care of the churches and trying to stop the Christians and how the gospel's spreading or not spreading and whether or not what the Christians are, as they're sitting around talking about their battle plan. You know that happens, don't you? Do they say, ah, leave him alone, he's a good old boy? Oh, yeah, that deacon. It says the ones that use the office well purchase themselves a good degree in great boldness in the faith. Oh, that guy's doing it right. All right, you better turn the pressure up on him. Well, you know where he's weak at. Go get him. How's his wife doing? Yeah, she's been reading the Bible a lot lately. She's had the right, all right, put the pressure on her. Are you registered in hell? Say, I don't know that I want that. Oh, okay, then backslide on God and have your name registered with God on the blacklist. I would rather have the hell after me all day long than God. I mean, it's not easy, and I don't brag. I've heard preachers say, you know, give me a devil my size and I'll whoop him. You're an idiot. They don't come your size, first of all. They come as small as flies and smaller. And they come in the form of giants. And you can't whoop them. But if you're following God, it don't matter if there's a famine or not, because you ain't staying long anyhow. What you worried about? We're here for a little while, and then we pass away, and it's all okay, man. He had the right perspective in the famine. You'll notice something else in the famine. He got the promises of God. He said, if you do these things, I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And on thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What a blessing, man. God promises you some things. We need the right perspective. You need to tune into God's instructions. You see, in verses 3 and 4, he gives him a promise of his presence. He said, I'll be with thee and will bless thee. I will give unto thee all these countries. I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. You see, he's got the promise of God's presence. He's got the promise of God's power. He's got the promise of God's productivity. In thy seed shall all the nations, I will bless thee. Listen, I'd rather have God's blessing than the devil's. I'd rather take 20 years to get to 300 with God in it than 2 years to get to 3,000 with the devil in it. I believe God will multiply us. I believe we get dry from time to time. I believe we get stuck from time to time. But we need to tune in to God's instructions because He gives us the proper perspective and He gives us some promises even in the famine. I'm going to take care of you. I know where you're at. Stay with me, boy. Don't give up. I know where you're at and I'll bless you. You know what it takes? A proper response. What's the proper response? Verse number 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. The proper response in the famine is obedience. Just do right because it's right. Imagine that. I don't feel like it. That ain't a good reason. I was joking around this week. I said, I don't want to hear excuses and I don't want to hear reasons. I want to see results. I got a reason. Who cares? I got an excuse. Who cares? Results. You know what? That's what God's looking for. Everybody has excuses and everybody has reasons not to obey. God wants to see obedience out of His people. We need to obey. Read your Bible because it's right. I'm not getting anything out of it. Don't worry about it. God sees. I heard one preacher say he knows why God put Chronicles in the Bible. He's got one up on me. I'm not positive about that, but... You know what he said? Just to see if you'll obey. When it's dry and you're sitting there and you're going, oh man, this is never going to end. Every word. You ever skim over them? You ever skim over them? Come on, be honest. You ever read real fast, just kind of cover it, cover it, cover it. Okay, okay, okay. All right, all right. Every word. You ever slow down and say, God, I know you're watching, so I'm reading every single one of these, every one of these names, every and, every repetitive piece of this, I'm just going to read it all. Obedience. The little things mean a lot to God. They don't mean much to us. They mean a lot to God. There's a twisted sin that shows up in the famine. In verses 7 through 11, he lies about his wife to save his own skin just like his daddy did. Be careful in the time of dryness because you'll mess up. You'll sin. You understand that? You hear me? When it gets dry, you'll do things you never thought you'd do. You'll commit sins you never thought you'd commit. He's selling out his wife. Not only is he committing a horrible sin in lying, but he's showing his lack of love for his wife. God tells us, fellas, how he'll treat us if we treat her wrong. You ever read it? He's shut off his ears. He won't hear your prayers. Jim always said this, and I haven't forgot it. Watch out for any man who kowtows to his superiors and is hard on his inferiors. If he, yes, sir, to you as the pastor, and you put him in an area of oversight and he goes around and abuses everybody, fire him. He's a coward, he's dangerous. Well, that starts at home. Isaac, you know what he does? He messes the whole thing up. You know he's following his daddy's footsteps? Gentlemen, ladies, I am never going to do what my dad did. Be careful. You don't even realize it. Now, I'm not preaching at you right now. I'm helping. I'm trying to be nice. You don't even realize it. It's in your blood. The sins are passed down. You know that? Like all the way back to Adam, we're all born sinners because of Adam. Familiar spirits, family. You ever see that? Grandpa's a drunk, dad's a drunk, kids are drunks. You ever see that? Isn't that weird? Yo, great grandpa beat the wife up. Grandpa beat the wife up. Dad beat the wife up. I'll never do that. Yep, sure. You ever see fornication run in families? Grandpa's a whoremonger. Dad's a whoremonger. Oh, there go the kids. I ain't gonna be like that. You better be careful. When it gets dry, you won't realize it. Before you know it, you snap back to some kind of a default setting you didn't know you had. And there's Isaac selling his wife out. He lied. You might take it farther than your parents did. Be real careful, kids, about criticizing your parents. We were teasing with one of ours the other day, and we told her the only thing that's wrong with her is that her brain is gone. Amen. And we said it'll come back sometime when you're in your 20s or 30s. We're not sure, depending on your maturity level. We were teasing, and she was laughing. She knows that. But no, the only thing wrong with you is right between your ears. It'll come back later. Listen. Be careful about being too hard on your parents, because you never know when you might go farther than they did. And that's exactly what Isaac did. Daddy, when he said it, it was a half-truth. You remember that? Because that she was his half-sister. Oh, she's my sister. Isaac had no right to say it at all. He lied completely. You'll mess up in the famine. There's a time of sowing in the famine in verses 12 through 14. Isaac sows in that land and receives in the same year 100-fold. You know, that's just common sense. You want to reap? Sow. You want people to treat you right? Treat them right. You want to have friends? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Nobody talks to me. That's because you don't talk to anybody. I don't know why I'm on that tonight. Must be something brewing. I don't know. Because you don't talk to anybody. That's exactly right. You're a loner. Yeah, I'm a loner because I like being a loner. It's my fault. You sow sparingly, the Bible says you'll reap sparingly. I wish I'd led more people to Christ. You ain't trying hard enough. I wish I could fill a pew. You're not trying hard enough. You're not trying often enough. I wish God blessed me like God blesses them. You're not giving enough. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. He sowed that year. So in the famine, he didn't use it as an excuse not to do what he knew needed to be done. He continued sowing and God blessed him. Sow in times of dryness. That's not going my way. I'm not seeing any results. This has been one of the worst years for our door knocking. You realize that? One of the worst years. We did the math. We have about 20 visitors every year just from door knocking. Directly knocked on their door, spoke to them, came in and sat on the pew. Approximately 20 a year. Every year we keep about 10%. This has been the worst year yet. What are we going to do? More people are going than ever. What if they get discouraged? Well, then they weren't serious anyhow. Amen. We keep going. There's not very good results. So what? We keep going. And then last Sunday, God gave us a blessing. Amen. And I think he'll do it again. So in the famine. It's common sense. But there's something else you got to be careful of in verse number 14. Contention shows up in the famine. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herd and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Contention shows up in the famine. Sometimes when you get dry spiritually, you cause trouble. Are we having fun tonight? I'm almost done. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to sum it up. I got more notes. I'm just going to sum them up for you. When you get dry spiritually, you become a problem. And every time God starts to move in our church, some dry Christians start causing problems. Like chickens in a chicken coop. And your dryness is going to hurt somebody else. Because the devil knows how to set that thing up. Could a Christian be possessed or not possessed? Let's put it this way. A devil can get control of your mouth, your eyes, your body, your attitude, your speech, your heart, your actions, and use you to do damage. I don't know what you call that. Possessed, oppressed, I could care less. The fact of the matter is, that can happen to any Christian. So you're dry in the famine. You know, things aren't going your way and you're struggling spiritually. So then what happens is, without realizing it, you start having a bad attitude about stupid stuff. And you start picking at each other, don't you? It's getting like super still right now. Sometimes God lets me know what's going on. Sometimes I have no idea. And I'm not telling you which sometime this is right now. Because Paul said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So either way, doesn't matter. He was gunning for me. Maybe God told me to. Maybe I'm walking in the flesh. That's for me to know and you to find out at the judgment. Amen. In the meanwhile, be careful when you get dry that you don't start letting stupidity and envy and jealousy cause strife in the church of God while their soul's dying and going to a devil's hell. You know what the Philistines are doing? They're coming behind Abraham and they go in there and they fill up all the wells. Isaac's coming to his daddy's wells and they're full of dirt. The people of God are there and they're going to the well where they knew it's been for a long time. Seek ye the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Hey, you know what we're trying to build here at this church? We're trying to build some old paths again. We're trying to build some of the good way again. Some of the old school Bible preaching where people can come to the well and get a fresh drink. But when the Philistines get in there, when the devil gets in there and starts messing with some dry Christians, what they do is walk along to that well and start dumping dirt in our well. It makes me mad when God's blessing and the Spirit of God's moving and people just need a drink. They wanted dirt. They'd have got it at work. You need to come into church and have problems over stupid stuff. That's good preaching, brother. Thanks. I appreciate the support. That's a blessing. If I got to amen myself, I will. So, amen, brother. Come on. Philistines come in and dump the well. You know what the man of God did? Kept digging. Go ahead and dump dirt in it. Go on. You know, we ain't going to stop. We can't stop. We can't stop. Stopping is not an option. Their soul's on their way to hell, and Jesus Christ is coming back. I like to see the UN all turning against Israel. I like to see the way the devil's setting the thing up, because that's good prophecy being fulfilled. Hey, I believe he's on his way back. It could be today. He could come for me. I hope it's today. And I want to be caught in the saddle digging a well for God's people to get a drink and lost people to get saved. You throw dirt in it, we'll keep digging. Oh, bus kids. Really? Do you know the liability? That's why we pay insurance. You know, they color on the walls and mess up the bathrooms and plug the toilets. And you know what they do? Well, God's just going to give you an opportunity to lay up some treasures in heaven, wiping walls and unplugging toilets for Jesus. Amen. But if one gets saved, it's worth it. You know how expensive a bus is? Well, I guess we're going to have to give. Oh, well. Don't dump dirt in our well. Be careful in the famine. You know why? Strife comes. You know what the man does? He stays at it. And in the end of the chapter, look at verse 32. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Hey, I don't know about you, but I found some water. Are you looking at me? I'm holding it right here in my hand. I found water. There is something about this book that rings true. Something about this book that's refreshing. There's something about this book that I need. And can I tell you from a pastor's heart right now? All reproof, rebuking aside, from a pastor's help, I want every single one of you to get a drink. I want all these little kids to grow up knowing what it's like to get a drink. You know what I want someday on my deathbed? I want someday on my deathbed some of these little ones to be going, "God did something great there. And we want to carry on what was started." Do you remember the good old days? Yeah, yeah, I do. Boy, wasn't that exciting? Yeah, it was neat. Remember all that God was? Yeah, it was night. Wasn't that great? Oh, it was great. All right, you know, you remember what the old man taught us? Let's quit looking back and press toward the mark. We got some more to get done. That's what I want. I want them to come running in there while I'm laying up there too sick to preach. I don't want to be that sick. I want to die in the pulpit. Amen. I want to be running up there saying, "Hey, hey, 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 let's tell you what God's doing. We found a well." You know what's depressing is the last two verses of this chapter. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. You know what you've got here? You got the type of a worldly Christian who's nothing but a grief of mind. Judith means celebrated or praised. Probably a beautiful woman. And all Esau could think about was the flesh. He was fleshly oriented. Everybody celebrated her. Everybody praised her. Beth Shemesh means sweet smelling or fragrant. Esau spent his life making his decisions based on the flesh. And winds up seeking a place of repentance and can't find it, though he seeks it carefully with tears. I don't want to be an Esau. I want to be a Jacob. I want to be like Isaac. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you tonight.